Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Hi everybody, welcome to Wicked Anime. This is Jonathan and Andrew.
Hi.
And we want to take a second before we get to the main episode. We want to talk about our dad.
This episode was recorded before our dad passed away, and we wanted to make sure that everybody knew that the episodes were still going to be coming out. They will continue to come out because our dad would not appreciate it or like it in the slightest if anything Wicked Anime stopped in regards to him.
Yeah, our dad was our number one supporter for Wicked Anime.
We know you guys, I wrote this in the whole, if you guys were online, if you guys were on Facebook mostly, some people tweeted about it, but if you guys were on Facebook, you saw that we had an entire day off of posting anything of Wicked Anime, and it was just about our dad and the eulogy I wrote about him.
Well, it talked about how our dad was so important to everything that Wicked Anime
is. Yeah, you know, because it said that we know you guys love our show and we know you guys want to be the best fan of Wicked Anime, and we really, really, truly love you guys and appreciate it, and especially all the support you guys have poured out over this thing that has happened to our family. It's really, really tough for us, and, you know, but our dad was always our number one fan. Our dad, I wrote it in the eulogy, and I said, this is true. Our dad, 100% all the time, just said, what do you need? What do you need to make this work?
Yeah, for anybody who knows what a supportive parent is like, which I really hope that it's all of you, our dad was a shining example of it. He never called himself a nerd or anything of that sort. In the way, because, well, back when he was growing up, it was a major insult.
It was, but I guess they really didn't know how to prominently define the term either, because they didn't have, you know, otaku or, you know, I mean, they had comic book nerds, but it wasn't like,
well, back then, when you had somebody a nerd,
yeah, if you had a Spider-Man comic, you weren't like, oh my gosh, that guy collects comic books, because now we have so many comic books.
Right, and in the same way that, I mean, our dad introduced us to so much media that's important to us. Like, he introduced us to things like the Mel Brooks films. He introduced us to
Ghostbusters.
Back to the Future. Well, his favorite movie of all time was Ghostbusters.
Next to Ice Pirates. And if you guys don't know what Ice Pirates is, then you should look it up.
Or you shouldn't. It's really bad.
But it was his favorite movie.
Yeah.
But he had no interest in anime. He had no interest in comic books. He had no interest in, or it's not that he didn't have interest in it. He just didn't know how to go about it. And the only reason he really took an interest in it is because we did. You know, our dad helped us go to school. Our dad helped us, you know, apply and get loans and, you know, be able to train ourselves to the point that we're at now where we can be professional artists and professional media people.
And he was never an artist himself.
Yeah, no, he had no artistic talent. He could draw stick figures and his own face. Like, that was it.
It was a circle.
Yeah, and he didn't know anything about cartoons or animation, but he knew that we watched it, and he loved that we watched Teen Titans.
Yeah, you know, he would very poorly sing the theme song.
Yeah, and Teen
it
Titans.
It was embarrassing.
Teen Titans was, you know, what got me into illustration and animation. I mean, I knew I liked this stuff, but then I watched Teen Titans, and I was just like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, then Dad would come by and go, Teen Titans, yeah. You know.
But then he would bring us to Barnes & Noble so that we could buy the comic books. And
oh, yeah, that's right.
This was before we could drive. We were still in middle school.
Oh, no. Because Teen Titans came out when we were in seventh grade.
2003.
But yeah, Dad was not in any way, but he was to no end supportive of everything we did and everything we wanted to do for our future, for this show. He funded so much for Wicked Anime.
He funded Anime Boston for when we had no finances. Like,
so,
when we were back in high school.
In high school, and we were just, you know, living under his roof. And
kids.
He paid for the hotel room. We had our own money that we could spend frivolously, but the hotel room for at least the first 5 years of Anime Boston was thanks to him.
Yep. And he did it without even question. He never said, you know, well, what are you going to do this for? Or what is the purpose of going to this? He never asked any of those questions ever.
He knew what our interests were, and he respected our interests, and he didn't just respect it, he loved our interests.
Right.
And
which brought, like, in his own connections, which got you anybody who has a Wicked Anime t-shirt.
Hold on to those Wicked Anime t-shirts.
You can thank him.
They are very valuable right now, because we don't know if we'll ever be able to get another run of them or not in the same way.
Yeah.
If we ever get any more t-shirts out for Wicked Anime, it probably will not be through the same guy. And the t-shirts that you have now are super high quality and the best quality you'll probably ever find without, you know, because we, you know, you wear them and you wash them and nothing happens to them. And the print quality is amazing. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to find another printer that will ever do that again. Yeah. That was thanks to our dad. And then, of course, we had, our dad loved Disney. That was one thing. So he loved going to Disney and he loved being at Disney. So we would,
Spend every other summer, we would go to Disney one summer. And then the following summer, we would go to Universal Studios. And I think that he always liked Universal Studios better, maybe just because of the movies.
Maybe.
They had Men in Black, you know.
He would always take us to the movies as well. So, like, it would be like every Friday or Saturday we'd go to the movies. And then when we weren't at the movies, we'd be watching a movie with him.
Yeah, we'd stop at either Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, and we would each rent a movie and we would watch them both on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he
Oh, no, or one Friday night and one Saturday night.
Yeah, on long weekends.
Hollywood Video.
That's our stint where he introduced us to movies like Pauly Shore and Stripes.
Stripes was the first rated R movie we ever watched. Yeah. Or no, maybe not the first rated R movie, but the first rated R movie with boobs.
Yeah, definitely the first time we saw it. So we were young enough that we had never seen a naked lady before.
So, thanks, Dad. Yeah. And I'm sure that doesn't help contribute to how much I love doujins, you know, just saying. So our dad is a very important part of the Wicked Anime family. He is, in fact, you know, if we're the fathers and the founders and the creators of Wicked Anime, he's definitely the supporter, the producer, and the grandfather of Wicked Anime.
Mm-hmm.
That is for certain. And, you know, forever he shall be remembered and respected for what he did. And we just want you to know that our dad to us is a superhero. Like, I don't, it's very, very true that I do in fact see my dad in my eyes as a truly living superhero. He had like a serviceman's heart.
All Might.
Yeah. Well, All Might in particular, it was specific, like superhero in general, but All Might is literally the encompassment of our dad.
And he was the living embodiment of his catchphrase, everything's okay now because I am here.
And then, you know, he was all literally, we've heard it throughout our entire life when our dad was a salesman. He was a plumbing and heating salesman, and he would be on the road all day long, you know, normal hours, but he would come home and be exhausted. But always was known by his company and any of the employers who didn't know his name. They would call him the man who was always smiling. He's like, hey, I was talking to the man who's smiling. And then everybody would say, oh, that's John Fleming.
True story.
So the fact that a superhero at this time, like All Might, shows up, who is always smiling and is, you know, probably one of the best superheroes ever, who is the embodiment of justice and peace and kindness. Like, he's a kind, kind man. And, you know, like, my dad reminds me of All Might.
Yep.
That is 100% true. And so All Might will probably be one of the best superheroes ever, I would think, like, from now
on. I was saying that all along anyways.
Yeah, I mean, we always knew that All Might had something special about him, but now it's even more clear. And so the fact that we're watching My Hero Academia right now, while the season of anime is coming out, while we go through these trials in our life,
yeah,
it's awesome. our dad had lost his battle with cancer. He had rectal colon cancer,
but it became more than that. It was very aggressive.
When they found it, it was already stage four, and it had been pretty much throughout the entire lower half of his body. It was in his lymph nodes. It was in his stomach. It was in his liver.
His bladder, his liver. It was terrible. It was terrible. But even in the hospital room, he was still smiling.
Yeah.
He was still smiling in the hospital room, and the nurses loved him.
People who weren't even his doctors or nurses were coming in and talking to him while he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole thing, he smiled. You know, I've actually seen a couple people that I probably haven't seen within, I don't know, 20 years.
Yeah.
Even still. And, like, I'm seeing them once again for the first time because they're all coming back because of my dad. And that's still what they're saying. They're still saying, oh, I remember him for smiling.
Yeah, so here's, you know, here's the Wicked Anime episode that we recorded before Dad passed away. But this episode is dedicated to him, and when our Anime Boston video comes out, that's dedicated to him, because, good God, thank you, Anime Boston, for existing so that our dad could, you know, help us out there. But here is the Wicked Anime episode that was recorded beforehand. It's all business as usual. We'll continue to release episodes for you guys because you are our fans. You are the best fans, and you guys have been very supportive throughout this whole thing.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 113. How are you doing? I am the Stupid Awesome Analyst, Jonathan, and with me is the Hard Man with Hard Opinions, Andrew.
Hi.
And also we have King Baby Duck Evan of the Boston Bastard Brigade / Wicked Anime.
Konnichiwa.
And, of course, we have the fangirl, Victoria.
Hi.
Hi. It's been a while.
I know it has. I've been crazy busy. Easter drove me nuts at the bakery. And yeah, I wasn't able to do like my other job at all, and now I actually have some time off.
Last episode, somebody was asking us if we celebrated our 5th anniversary by buying a cake from the Nakery, and so in response, I sent them a picture of the cupcakes that you made us. So, this episode, we are going to,
thing, isn't it?
Maybe.
It will forever be a thing.
As the fans keep it alive, too, which they are.
Yeah. We haven't have drawings. We're going to go back to a little bit of an old Wicked Anime route where we just talk about really random things. But this episode, we want to focus on the awesome animal mascots and animal thingies, creatures that you find in anime, some of the best ones that represent shows and what have you. But first off, we have to share a little bit about what we've been looking at for the past couple weeks. So I think that it would be appropriate to ring the news bell, Sean.
News.
Yeah. I don't think you have to say news anymore.
No, he's still gonna do it.
Still gotta.
Well, that is the news bell. That's just news bell, Sean.
Yeah. So thank you, Newsbell Sean. You can go away now. There's a lot of really cool stuff that happened this week, and I got my news piece. I had already seen this news piece before, but then Frostbeard, the porn master, Sean, he sent us a whole plethora of articles again, just like he did for the last episode, which they were all posted in the description. We'll post all these ones as well. But the one that I had saw and that we had mutually seen this company, they're called Terracon, I believe, T-E-R-A-C-O-N, Terracon. They are a dating service. They do speed dating, and they do things like that. Well, they have successfully run things like single video game players. They have done things at conventions. Just recently, on May 20th, they had set up an event in the Akihabara district for single anime fans looking to seek out a mate for marriage. Well, they set up this event, and
all was going pretty well, except who didn't show up?
Women.
Girls.
Women. That is correct. Women did not show up for this singles day. The way that TerraCon runs their events is that they usually do an event where they invite five select males and five select females, and then they all spend time together and see if they can make a appropriate match. Well, apparently in the anime world where... as the text for their advertisement said, you could talk about this season of anime, you could talk about voice actors, music, what have you, just be an otaku here, you know, and find true love. It appears that we were only going to be looking forward to BL because there were no females who showed up for this event. How sad is that?
Well, I guess they have to be gay then.
I guess, I mean, like, that's...
And then all the girls came. And,
yeah, exactly.
Because all the BL Yaoi fangirls then showed up.
Look at the size of their heads!
God.
Yeah.
You see, I think it would be more successful here in America than it would over in Japan.
Oh,
something
absolutely.
Like a setup like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you see all the time that, you know, speed dating things at conventions all the time and everything like that. Rhode Island Comic Con has sci-fi speed dating.
Yeah. Well, not when I was there.
They totally did, because we tried to get you to go.
I think I would have gone if they had it, right? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
They didn't have it this year at Anime Boston, though, because I was looking up information for it.
Cool. That's sad.
Isn't it? I would want to go to a nerd speed dating event.
I'd
want to
try it. I would totally
too.
Try it.
I'd do it as well.
I would go, even as, I think, if I could convince Christine... to let me go to one. I think she should go to one too and then see how many callbacks we get. Compare our numbers.
I think I remember hearing that. The competition.
Yeah.
Recently, on the NHK, they did a survey of the best 100 anime ever. And the results came in from an online poll that lasted from January 8th to March 31st. Now, I don't want to list all 100 choices. Maybe I'll just do the top 10, and I want to know your personal opinions on these top 10.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, ready. Okay. Here we go.
So, at number 10, there was Mr. Osomatsu, which I do understand the popularity of that one, but I wouldn't say it was one of, like, the top 10 absolutely best. I thought the first half of the series was flawed, but it got better with the second half.
What is that show even?
It's about sextuplets.
Oh, that one. I haven't started watching that at all, but I know what you're talking about. All
right, so number 9 is Love Live, the school idol movie.
Okay, that makes sense.
The movie, though? Okay.
Yep. Number 8 is Cardcaptor Sakura.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is where it's going to kind of start making less and less sense.
Okay.
So prepare yourself. Number 7, Code Geass, Lelouch of the Rebellion.
I hate it, but that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it is a very, very popular anime, but people are wrong.
Victoria, did you ever watch Code Geass?
I did not.
No?
See, I liked it. It was good enough to be in my top 50, but not in the top 10 of the best ever.
Or wait, was this the best ever or the most viewed?
The best ever.
It was the best ever on the NHK?
Episode or two. I couldn't really...
Exactly. If it was good, you'd watch more than an episode or two.
Especially where it's me. Like, I'd watch the whole show in about a day.
Yeah.
So, I just couldn't get that into it.
Yeah, I really wasn't that into it either. But I'm also not really into... It has to be a very select kind of mecha anime for me to like it. And it wasn't...
Certainly wasn't Clamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, the oldest show on this list, by the way, is Space Battleship Yamato, which was from 1974.
What? And where did that one fall?
That fell at number 29.
Oh, that's pretty good for an old sauce anime.
All right, so continuing on with the list, number 6, Tiger and Bunny the Beginning.
See, I've seen a little bit of this list, and I know that Tiger and Bunny is everywhere because apparently it's the best anime ever made. I only watched the first... Yeah, I've only watched the first couple episodes. It is good. It's actually great, but I never finished it.
All right.
Watch it. It's on my list.
So number 5 and number 4 is Love Live, with season 2 at number 5 and season 1 at number 4.
Ah.
So Love Live is really... See, I do like Love Live, but I don't.
Yeah,
is it the best anime ever? I don't know about that, but it's definitely a really good show. But they really like their idols.
I liked season two better than season one. I would have flipped those for me personally.
Mm.
I actually would agree with you on that one because I did think that the character aspects got a whole lot better with season two than it did season one.
Yep.
All right, so number three, Puella Magi Madoka Magica.
Yep.
And I would actually agree with it being high on the list.
Yeah, me too.
It's certainly not surprising. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah.
That was the one that, I kid you not, when James was hiding in the apartment for our proposal, my friend was like, you should watch this anime series. And he had me trapped in the room for like 2 days. Glued to the screen, and I couldn't stop watching it. And apparently, James was outside my door the whole time messing with me, and I was just glued to it. But it hurt so much. Yet I still want a plushie of the creepy cat.
I've got Kyubey. Oh, you do. Oh, you know I have Kyubey. You've seen Kyubey.
Yes, my friend cosplayed Kyubey and actually was giving contracts to people. Like, offering contracts to magical girls at Anime Boston. It's ridiculous.
All right, so number two, Tiger and Bunny, The Rising.
Okay.
Is that a movie?
So, yep, that's a movie. And so, with that being number two, you could guess what number one is.
Is it regular Tiger and Bunny?
It is regular Tiger and Bunny.
See, I knew it fell on this list.
That's such a boring list.
Yeah. Well, that's...
The two... I will agree with two of these picks, which are Cardcaptor Sakura and Madoka Magica, because I truly believe that Cardcaptor Sakura is the greatest magical girl anime ever made, and I felt like Puella Magi and Madoka Magica changed the game of what you could do with a magical girl anime.
Right.
Capture was one of my very first animes that I fell in love with.
Mm.
That wasn't like screaming, because like it was that and Inuyasha, the two that I watched at the same time. So very, very different shows.
Yeah,
Inuyasha, by the way, was number 93 on this list.
Oh, hey! Oh,
wow.
Let me see what Manime. Okay, so Stardust Crusader is 96 on this list for Manime.
Yeah, the 2014 version of it.
It might be the only Manime.
Fist of the North Star didn't make it on the list.
I'm looking right now. I'm going through every single one of them. You'll be happy to know that Shiro Bako made the list at number 52.
I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We don't consider Gurren Lagann as anime.
Where did Gurren Lagann come in on the list anyways?
Gurren Lagann came in at number 43, right before Melancholy Haruhi Suzumiya, which was number 42. And right after Lupin the Third and Castle Cagliostro at number 44.
Huh.
Well, see, now here's the question. Where is the actual best anime ever made, Cowboy Bebop?
Cowboy Bebop is 34.
I guess that's
and number
fair.
33 is Love Live Sunshine.
That was the one I watched. I watched Love Live Sunshine.
These millennials don't know what they're talking about.
Millennials. Japan's.
Let's see, if Sarah was here, she'd be excited to know that Haikyuu is number 23. Sword Art Online is 20. Yeah. Yeah, that really is the only anime on there, Stardust Crusaders.
Wow. What a shame.
I know you don't, I don't think you count Akira as anime.
No, just a really good movie.
Yeah, no, that's just a movie.
Really good movie.
Just a real good
Kill
movie.
Kill la Kill is number 92. Eh, list is meh.
Good job at failing... at making a good anime list, Japan. Well, they didn't. There are good animes on there, and I'm not saying that they're bad animes. It's just... ours aren't on there. Ah.
Yeah. Like, how's Joker Game on there at number 12?
What? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
That show was awful. Awful.
Joker Game is Let me see which other ones from 2016 made the list. Bungo Stray Dogs is 31.
That's a good show.
Mob Psycho 100 is 69. I thought that was great. Showa Genroku Rakuo Shinju is at number 80. They picked the wrong Studio Dean one from 2016 as the one of the top. Why isn't Konosuba on this list?
That's all.
Honestly, like I would honestly take out Sword Art Online and replace it with Danmachi.
Yeah.
I feel like this is more of a popularity contest, well, not the best one.
Yeah, it's every kind of voting thing is always a popularity
contest.
That's
what happens when you get fan polls, is like if the fan poll was from, you know, from January to March or whatever, then obviously you're going to have the ones with the biggest fandoms coming to say what is and isn't great.
But I still don't understand how Tiger Bunny is number one. I don't understand how, like, I tried watching it. I just couldn't get into it.
I thought it was all right. I thought it was good. I'd finish it if I had time.
Yeah, time.
What's that?
All right, so who's got another story?
I don't have stories. I just have Waifu Watch.
You have a Waifu Watch? Yeah. Let's do it!
Okay. So I have been marathoning something hardcore, and I was like, why don't we pick people from that? So, yeah. We've made it through book one and two of Avatar Last Airbender within like 3 days.
Cool, and I still haven't seen it yet.
Ah!
Wakfu's better.
I don't know. That's up for argument. Fight right now. Do it.
Yeah.
I don't think I know Wakfu.
It's French.
Then I can't fight.
All right. So let's do ourselves a waifu watch for Avatar Last Airbender.
I would hardcore have my husband know be Zuko mainly, but like later on in the series, Zuko with the longer hair instead of the ponytail. Because
yeah,
the bald head and ponytail is weird. That, yeah. Or psychotic Sokka, just because like throughout it he gets crazy at different points and he's just so entertaining. So if I want the funny guy, Sokka. If I want the hot dreamy guy, it's Zuko.
That's really weird though, because Zuko is always at some point socially awkward though. Yeah. So like
Have you met my fiance?
Hi, he doesn't go, "Hi, James here," when he enters a room.
No. But that's like, that episode is the best freaking episode. Like they almost titled it Zuko is cool. He was just really uncomfortable of what to do. And to be fair, he's also not trying to murder everyone for a moment.
He's more comfortable in a murderous situation. That is true. Same with James.
But I have to pick a girl, though. Toph is so badass, you just can't not.
Toph is mine. See, I've always loved Toph.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's the toss-up between Katara and Toph, but it has to be Toph.
Yeah.
As far as a waifu goes. Mm. She is awesome. She's absolutely awesome.
Although, I mean, I have always liked Katara on the level of how emotional of a character she was. Like, from a standpoint of character development, I say that Katara has one of the best female character developments from that time, that era of animation.
Mm-hmm.
If not any, like, every single character in that show had the best character development, especially for that age group. That was the beginning of that era of people saying, like, oh, hey, let's, like, not treat kids like they're idiots and give them a good story.
Yeah.
And so we got Avatar The Last Airbender, and it was the first instance where I was like, wow, Katara is such a well-developed character and so important to the storyline. I love her.
Maybe I should bring my DVD player into work and I can watch your copies of Avatar.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that.
So good.
Yeah, like, I marathoned it for 10 hours.
Yeah, it's not hard to do because it's a great show. But, like, I just love her so much. I cosplayed her and absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. And, like, her hair loopies are so fun to do. But, but like, Katara is definitely by far one of the better characters. Especially, like you said, like, the development stuff. And I don't know, have you guys watched any of Legend of Korra?
Yep. I watched,
I haven't watched any of it.
I watched the first season.
None of
it.
I haven't watched any of it.
It's in, like, the first freaking episode. So.
Yeah.
I have seen her as her old self.
Yeah. I like older Katara too, because she's still that like kind person and also a little bit of a badass and just she's
cool. I mean at this point it wouldn't be too much of a spoiler to say that she meets Toph too at one point.
I know, she's awesome.
Which the funny thing is if you don't know, Toph refers to Aang in the first series as Twinkle Toes. Which when you meet Toph in The Legend of Korra, she calls Korra Twinkle Toes because she's still the Avatar.
Right.
So, like, it's the same entity just in a different body, which is really, is like a really endearing moment where, because she's blind and she just knows the footsteps of the Avatar and she just recognizes the Avatar as Twinkle Toes, which is like, yeah, it was great.
It's a beautiful, adorable moment.
But also, lesser known waifus from Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I love lesser known waifus. Like, yeah. That's such a great aspect.
I would say
Cabbage Man. My cabbages.
Wait, Evan, what was that?
I would say, what's her name? She was a Sokka's love interest after the whole war thing. Suki.
Yeah, Suki is pretty cool.
She shows up in like episode 6, right?
Yeah, she's pretty early on in the.
Really, but they don't like push her as a love interest until after Yue.
Victoria.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, I still haven't like gotten that far through. Yet. So,
Victoria, you're not just like head over heels for the boulder.
No, Boomy.
Boomy. Yeah, Boomy's awesome.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Iroh, even, like, all the guys in the show are just fantastic. I would love to have Iroh as, like, a dad or a grandpa. He's just freaking awesome.
The short episode based on Iroh and his son made me cry.
I know.
But my lesser-known waifu from that show would be the circus girl. I forget her name.
Ty Lee,
yeah. I loved her because she was so spunky and she was.
There's a lot of fan art. Because I haven't seen the series, I would actually think in my own head, like I did. I didn't know that she was just a lesser known. That she would have been a really important main character
just based on the fan art.
Because there's fan art of her out the. Oh my gosh! Like just everywhere. It's all Ty Lee. That's like if you look up Avatar fan art, it's all Ty Lee. So I thought she was a main character.
Yeah.
She's not like a hardcore side character, like very well, like off to the distance, you never see her. She becomes more of like a main character in like the second book, third book. Like,
yeah. Further. But even still though, if they wrote her out, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, you wouldn't notice. But yeah, my favorite side characters though are definitely Cabbage Man. And the guy on Kyoshi Island who has a seizure every time Aang shows up, by far.
Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome.
The seizure guy.
There was so much good stuff in that show.
It's so great.
And I still have yet to discover it.
I want
You just...
Yip.
Oh, he's so cute.
Save that for our Tapagotchi later.
I know. I have lots of them. I have so many of them for the Tapagotchi. It's ridiculous.
That was a good waifu watch.
Yeah.
So my thing that I want to bring to the table is a story. It's kind of a news story. It's kind of a strange news story, but it's only a strange news story because it relates to Wicked Anime and Wicked Anime's distant past.
Okay.
There is an anime adaption coming out of A Centaur's Life. And if you guys remember, all the way back on episode 30 of the Wicked Anime podcast, when Cap and Tony from Nerdy Show were on the show, we discussed A Centaur's Life because Cap was reading it when he was getting back into manga. So Cap was saying that there's just a bunch of really quirky and adorable things about this anime while also being very, very strange. They go to a petting zoo. Or a farm for a field trip, because it's about schoolgirls, but they're all monster girls. Mm-hmm. And it follows the centaur character, and she sees the backside of a cow and all the genital and sex organ workings. And the characters were like, you know, do yours look like that? And she's like, I don't know, I've never seen it, because she's a horse. So she can't see it. She can't see all the way back there. This is my knowledge of what this show is, or what this manga is. It's like a slice of life growing up, like, with these schoolgirls that are discovering themselves and growing up and going through puberty and stuff, and they don't know certain aspects of life, and so there's, like, this really innocent scene where they're all showing each other their workings, and, like, they take a cell phone picture of hers and show it to her because she's never seen it, and this is what I know of it. This is what Cap explained to us back on episode 30 of the Wicked Anime podcast. So I saw this news article pop up and I was like, no way, there's an anime coming out of this.
That reminds me of Cap.
Yeah, so that is...
So do you think it's going to be as good as Monster Musume?
Know nothing about it.
Yeah, that, like, seriously, the only extent of what I told you is what Cap told us way back in 2013.
Yeah.
2013. Oh. So now there's finally a show of it coming out. Now I'd be interested in seeing it. The characters look well designed from the manga adaption, and it seems like it would be a funny story based on what Cap was talking about.
And that was Japan's Fetish of the Week?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's weird.
Not quite.
We do have Japan's Fetish of the Week, though. It's time for Japan's Fetish of the Week!
Woo!
Evan, you know about this one.
Yes, I do. All right, so some of the most beautiful, in the realm of religion, probably one of the most beautiful people on the planet have to be the Japanese shrine maidens, or the Miko. Well, the Mikos are now about ready to head to the beach because a Micho designer has unleashed a Miko swimsuit.
So here's my issue that I take up with the Miko swimsuit is that I've never fetishized. I don't know if that's a word, but I've never had a fetish for shrine maidens, yeah, or their attire.
So like the whole thing about making...
They all look like Inuyasha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, I'm like, oh, Kikyo, okay.
Yeah.
It's just straight up Kikyo.
I've never understood the appeal of why people think the shrine maidens are sexy. In the same way where I've never really understood why people think nurses are sexy.
Or nuns.
And nuns are sexy. Well, I don't know. I guess that's kind of sexy. I don't know.
Really? Not me.
But that's why it's a fetish. Yeah. That, because people will fetishize anything.
I mean, it's cute, though.
Yeah, the swimsuit is cute. I would say that they sexualize it because of the purity aspect of being a Miko.
Right, of course. And it's like the same thing with nuns. Exact thing.
But
swimsuit needs armbands, but okay.
They're her flotation device.
I haven't seen the swimsuit, but... But I think you can always make a swimsuit cute, like no matter what. The swimsuit is cute.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is.
The swimsuit was God's gift to this earth. It's the greatest thing ever.
Because it's a
arigato kami-sama.
They're waterproof bra and panties, Victoria.
Okay, whatever you say.
They can get wet.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Not the same room.
I'm sorry.
Is going through the computer screen right now. Like, really?
Well, unless it's like a one-piece swimsuit, then it's not.
Which I actually like better. Panties. I like better.
Do you?
Way more comfortable.
I don't know what
it's
it
way
is.
More comfortable.
I've always liked one-piece swimsuits better than bikinis. Don't get me wrong. A swimsuit's a swimsuit for me. But I find something very cute and endearing about a one-piece swimsuit.
Nothing like those dead or alive swimsuits.
Yeah.
The thing girls go through to make themselves comfortable in a bikini, it's just, dear God.
Guys just like take off all their clothes and then put trunks on.
Yep. Doesn't matter. Like,
it's really easy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the size of their beer belly or no, if they're not, like 1,000 years old.
We're not Brazilian. We're not Brazilian, so we don't do Speedos.
Yeah.
You could still have a guy in a beer belly walking around a banana hammock and not giving two shits, too. Girls yep. are way more self-conscious.
I have unfortunately have seen that up in New Hampshire, and it is the worst sight one could ever see.
Good God, I see it all.
Well, but then there you also have those. Does the standard change for when a girl is pregnant? Because pregnant girls, I see like at the beach, they're always wearing 2-piece bikinis. Like,
Well, because they kind of have to.
They don't make.
On top of that, at that point, you literally don't give two shits what people say. It's like, what? Yes, I have a baby in me. Kiss my ass. Like, get out of my way. I don't care how I look. I look awesome. If a girl could rock that kind of confidence all the time, the world would be so much better. But, like, it's hard to have that confidence.
Do they make maternity one-piece swimsuits?
I believe they do.
Yes, they do. That's
something I've looked into, but...
I specifically remember when our aunt was pregnant with her third child, she had one.
Really?
Yep.
That's funny.
Does it like have like an opening for her stomach?
Nope. It's just wider around the hips.
It's just like, it's still pressure on your stomach that like a swimsuit would have, and that's going to be uncomfortable. I mean, not that I know for sure. I've never been pregnant, but like, it's, I don't know. I feel like it'd be uncomfortable. That's why I like the 2-piece. It's like, it's a long shirt and then the bottoms.
I don't think there can be anything more uncomfortable than having a baby pushing up on all your organs.
Fair. That's fair. So why would you want fabric pushing against it, making it even more uncomfortable?
Did we tip into a different fetish of the week?
It was talking about bathing suits.
But this is going like way far away from the Shrine Maiden bathing suit.
Right, which I'll say I approve. I like it. I think it should be the new fashionable thing that all women should wear.
She is really cute.
Maybe that's what the Shrine Maiden should wear instead of their regular Shrine Maiden garb. They can just wear their Shrine Maiden.
That would certainly make a lot more people convert to Shinto.
Oh, that's gross.
And that was Japan's Fetish of the Week!
Yeah! Yeah!
Woo! That's good. Okay, we have one more story, though, that we want to cover before we go on to what we're watching, and it's the most important story of our lifetime, because it has to do with our topic today, and also, like, within the animal kingdom, but also very near and dear to Wicked Anime's heart in the love of waifus. Evan, take it away.
All right. So, at the Tobo Zoo in Japan, they're doing a promotion for the Japanese anime Kimono Friends. And one of the promotions is that they're having these cutout characters of the... Well, they're having the cutouts of the characters from Kimono Friends sharing the same space as their real-life animal beings. One of which is the character of Hululu, which is the penguin, and she is being featured in the Penguin Sanctuary.
Oh, I've seen this. It's really cute.
Yeah, this is the best thing on the face of the planet.
So, one of the penguins, who was named Grape Coon,
has
become smitten with the cutout. All he does is he gets his food, then he walks up to the cutout and just stares at it. All the time. He'll sometimes do the bit of like the mating thing with the wings, but he's trying to court Hululu, the cutout.
He has a waifu!
Yeah. Penguin.
The penguin has a waifu.
Okay, but here's the thing.
It's creepy, but otherwise it's really cute.
Well,
there's some really cute fan art of it.
It's really cute, but like, it's...
I saw one comic that somebody did of him being like, you know, she's just a cutout, right, Grape Coon? Yeah,
I posted know. That one.
And then it's just like him freaking out. Grrr! Or like, Hulu, you know what I mean? And like all the other penguins are like holding him back. Like,
but now, here's I stand on you, Hulu-chan. Jesus Christ, mate, it's just a piece of cardboard. Stop, the whole world is watching.
I would say that this has gotten more to the point of smitten with Hulu because... Grape Coon has actually needed to be closed off from the Hululu cutout because he's forgetting to eat.
Nope. That turns out to be false.
Really?
The picture that you see of Grape Coon being the fence is because that's when they drain the water. So they're trying to make sure he doesn't fall.
Right. But even...
But when they put the water back in, the fence goes down and he could go back to Hululu.
So he's still eating, but he still eats though, right?
Yes, he's eating.
Because
I actually saw video clips of Hululu eating. Oh, not Hululu. Grape Coon of eating.
It'd be amazing if Hululu started eating.
But a Grape Coon, the first time they have to actually kind of not so, like, almost, like, force it in to eat. But then, the next few fishes, he's, like, eating on his own.
So, to be honest, at first, I thought that the fact that people did fan art was kind of weird, and now I'm looking at the fan art, and they're fucking adorable. I'm loving these pictures so much.
I actually haven't seen any of it.
Go to Tumblr. I bet you Tumblr has some great fan art.
Nope, it's all on Senkaku Complex.
I would really love to go to Japan just to see this.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, the voice actress who plays Hululu did go to see this.
Is that what this
yep,
is?
Yep, that's
Chikuta
what that
Ikuku.
Is.
Iku. Yeah, how do you say? Chikuta Ikuko.
Yeah, Hululu's Seiyu just visited Grape Coon. That is...
He'll never know.
This is...
Okay, now I found it.
This is one of the best news stories from Japan, I think... I have ever heard.
It might be our story of the year.
It might be. This might be Wicked Anime's story of the year because this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yep. And it's certainly an advocate story for my wife who's not weird.
Yeah, this would actually be added to our panel.
Yep.
Yeah, add it. added that it shows that it doesn't happen just with humans, but it happens with animals as well.
Apparently.
All right.
Go, Grape Coon!
So, let's talk about what we're watching. I personally have not really watched anything new. I will, however, update and say that I think that I was right in writing my article about Bastard Magical Instructor. Because it's still good. We're on episode 5 right now, and I'm caught up with it. And I'm rather enjoying it still.
Yeah, it's like it got better after like the first couple episodes.
Yeah, I think that the tournament, the field day sports thing that they're doing right now is fun. Really fun. And I'm actually thinking that new character that they're going to be adding to the show, that new blue-haired girl, I think she's going to be pretty cute.
Now, I haven't watched the newest episode of it, but it's good, but it's not great.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Now, here's something that I wanted to talk about with it, though. I was noticing that our main character, Glenn Radars, how they pronounce his name, Gren, which
Gren.
I feel like whenever I hear it, I keep hearing Gren, like as in Gurren Lagann. So I was wondering, have we been mistranslating this the entire time? Did Kamina name Simone's machine Glenn this entire time? And like, it's just way less cool. It's like Kamina's just sitting there. Oh man, that's Glenn. You know, that is Glenn Lagann. When we're all Team Glenn, we're Team Die Glenn.
Yeah, that makes the show a little bit more pathetic.
You will never be able to unhear that now.
No, I won't. Thanks a lot.
My favorite show of the late 2000s, before the turn of the decade, was Glenn Lagann. It's Kenny Loggins' lesser known brother.
Well, he does ride into the danger zone many times.
These are the Vidon.
Yep. Who's next? Who else is watching something?
Okay, but while I was hoping to transition a little bit to the Grape Coon story. I gave Kimono Friends a second chance.
Did you?
And I actually like it. I mean, I'm not loving it, but I like it.
Is it basically like I'm looking past the animation? Because the animation is what really killed it for me.
Yeah, I'm looking past the animation. The animation gets a little bit better at around episode 3. And that was around when the story and writing was getting better, too. I like the characters. I do kind of understand why the show was super popular in Japan. And I do think... I think it's a good show to show kids. I think a lot of kids would like these characters. It's very educational, especially when you have those moments where you're learning about the animals in between the commercial breaks.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that my favorite part of the show was when they take the mid-episode break and you learn about actual animals. Like from the Japan Zoo.
Didn't even make it halfway to the episode. I never even saw that.
The thing is, it is not the same zoologist that shows up. There's actually one that's from America that comes on. There's one from France that comes on. It's like different zoos from around the world, mostly from Japan, but they have some guest ones from different parts of the parts of the world.
Huh.
I almost said universe.
I know, I heard that. I heard universe. And there's
the
some...
please blorps.
Oh, yeah. Still logged on to Tumblr because I was trying to log in. I hadn't noticed things that were posted on the Wicked Anime Tumblr page, and you have killed me from a post from like a month ago. Kids playing with chalk. Literally a bunch of kids playing with chalk. Remember with the good times playing with chalk as kids, and it's got one of them as the Ulrich brothers playing with chalk.
Oh, yeah.
Hard right now. I've been staring at my computer like mouth open like, oh my god.
So yeah, I remember
to go
that
on
one.
Tumblr for a stupid game.
All right, sorry, but you know what, Kimono Friends, I think it's a good show. It's a million times better than having to sit down and watch something stupid like Jake and the Neverland Pirates.
Jake isn't that bad. It's pretty dumb, but it's not that bad.
No. Listen, one of my biggest peeves are children's shows where they talk down to the audience.
Yeah.
And Jake and the Neverland Pirates is the worst of them.
No, no, no. Dora the Explorer will always be the worst of it.
Dora the Explorer was the one that started it, but Jake and the Neverland Pirates just brought it to a... You know what it is, too, is that they pussify Captain Hook in the show, too.
That's awesome.
That's why
have you
it's terrible.
The new Princess Elena?
No.
So Elena's
no.
actually, like, a decent princess. She's actually smart and great, and it's actually a good kid show. She legitimately, though, like, isn't just the normal princess. It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, you can all do what you want. She literally is not a pushover, is smart, and, like, there's an episode where there's this monster that, like, he's connected to the mountain, and if he's upset, the volcano erupts, and they're all, like, freaking out. Oh, no, he's mad. You've got to kick him out. He's going to blow up the town. He's mad because these little shits were stealing stuff from him. And she's like, did anyone go ask him why he's mad? And they're like, well, he's a monster.
I feel like we've had this conversation
yeah,
before.
I remember this.
There are
yeah,
some
I remember
decent
this.
Kid shows out there. Yeah. They're getting better. They're still...
I'll say but... Star vs. the Forces of Evil is currently the best one for kid shows.
I like Star.
Yeah.
Not that I watch kid shows all the time or anything. Definitely not.
We do. I really like Paw Patrol. Peppa Pig's really funny. Oh, Bubble Guppies
Bubble
is amazing.
Bubble Guppies is the best.
Yeah.
So for my what we're watching, I started because when at work I can't really access the internet. We don't have any wireless internet connection, so I can't go on Crunchyroll and watch stuff. I have a bunch of anime saved to my computer. One of which I do have the DVD set for. But I haven't watched it in forever, and I actually haven't watched it all the way through yet. So now I'm making my way all the way through to finish it. Is Hyper Police?
Mm.
Does anybody remember Hyper Police?
Yeah, it's cool.
Vaguely, the name sounds very familiar.
So Hyper Police is, I think, late '80s, early '90s, as far as anime goes, and it's one of the few or one of the first anime that had very prominent animal characters. So like the main character is a cat girl, her partner is a nine-tailed fox girl, and then there's a dog man, a wolf man, and then like a whole bunch of other beast creatures, because they live in like this post-apocalyptic Tokyo, and humans and beast creatures are separated into their own societies, and it's weird. But it's that's kind of like
remember this.
Yeah, it's kind of like an underlying fact or an underlying storyline to the overarching storyline, which is just about these beast creatures who are bounty hunters, and they go on bounty hunting missions within this beast world to make money, and it's literally them just trying to make money and surviving in this really crappy environment. It's good. Like, the first episode was really great, and it's in as far as a classic anime goes, and how solid that animation is, and the great facial expressions that came along with it, and the nice hand-drawn animation. The story is only okay, and the characters are only okay. But overall, I like it, and I'm wondering if the story's going to change a little bit, or if it's going to upgrade, because it's a 26-episode series, but I'm on episode 13 now, so I'm wondering if episode 14 to 26 are going to be, like, upgraded animation, or if there was any break at all. I just don't know how it works, so I'm kind of excited to see how the series goes to the last half of the series.
Like I said, I've been marathoning Avatar Last Airbender. I also...
That's not anime! Rawr!
Give me a second. I also started the first episode of My Hero Academia.
Oh, nice!
I haven't had time to continue it, and I, like... The first episode seemed a little eh to me, but my rule with anime is I usually give it at least 3 to 4 episodes before I make my decision, because I know the first episode's usually, like, a little rough, and then it gets better.
Pretty much.
So I'm going to give it time. I just haven't had time to actually, like...
Wait until he meets All Might, the greatest superhero on the face of the planet.
Didn't he? I think I saw that part.
Yeah, he meets All Might in the first episode, but you don't really get to... The feel of All Might.
Getting to talk to Chris Sabat in person about him playing All Might is just amazing.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot. I just need some time to actually do it.
I'm trying not, because I wanted to bring this up about My Hero Academia, but there's a part of me that...
Bother me at all if you want to talk about it.
All right. Like, there's a part of me that feels like
they
that...
should.
That...
They don't.
there's a part of me that feels like Deku has always had a quirk that was just recently revealed at the end of the cavalry battle episode. Did you notice how when he cried, he literally planted himself in the ground?
Oh, yeah. See, and that's the thing that I think is kind of nice, because, Victoria, have you noticed, like, how much... I don't remember if it happens a lot in the first episode, but he cries all the time.
Yeah.
And we...
See, okay, I didn't like that either.
Okay, good. So, Victoria, you're on the same page as us.
Okay.
Because we actually had a Wicked Anime episode about us discussing how much he cries, and a lot of fans
That's his superpower!
They sent us a lot of hate for talking about how much he cries and how much we don't like him crying. In the second season, they make fun of it, about how much he cries. Like, it's actually a comedy aspect about him crying.
Yeah, All Might's like, kid, you gotta stop crying.
Yeah, I think it's another thing that you have to, or that you're gonna, you have to look forward to is him meeting all the other superhero students in the academy, because this show has some of the best side characters probably ever since. Well, okay, I haven't seen One Piece, and I think I know you have, and I know One Piece has a really great cast of side characters.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna say this Naruto as well has a bunch of endearing side characters, and basically shonen anime. I should just say this.
Yeah.
Shonen anime is always made up of a bunch of really great, amazing side characters that you want to learn more about. And My Hero Academia is
no different.
Yeah, no deviation from that. Like, the side characters are almost awesome.
For me, I feel like My Hero Academia has created its, like, own Marvel universe in just one show.
Kinda, yeah.
I could totally see all these characters getting their own side story or side film or side TV series or side video game. Like, you could literally expand the universe of My Hero Academia and make hundreds of different shows just based on one of these specific characters.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it a lot. And
like, I'm definitely gonna give it a chance because I want
to. And not only that, but shout out to Allison and Jessica when we saw them at Anime Boston. That's like their favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
So at least
watch
it. Yeah. Trust them. We enjoyed watching them absolutely freak out over everything. Yeah, My Hero Academia at Anime Boston. Hi, girls.
Hi.
So let's talk about what we wanted to get to today, which we've already talked quite a bit about animals on this episode
for some reason.
So let's continue.
Talked about penguins.
The best penguin in the world. Oh my gosh.
Let's talk about more animals and what they are to anime, because for whatever reason, if you have a harem or if you have some sort of action show.
A shonen.
Shonen. There's always some kind of animal.
Animal companion.
Yeah, like you have in Glenn Logan, you have Buta, the little pig.
No, that's not a pig. Isn't that like a boar? Or a goat,
well,
goat
yeah,
or a
it's,
groundhog sort of thing?
No, he's a pig.
His name is Buta, which is Japanese for pig.
And he goes bui, which is oink.
Yep. So he's, they're pig steaks I forget what they call them. But yeah, they're supposed to be like pigs.
So I'm gonna go out and start.
I have so many, so just let me know.
Well, I'm gonna just say my favorite animal companion has always been Ryouki from Tenchi Muyo. Because Ryouki is so cute that I can hardly stand it. When we were at Anime Boston, there was a guy from Anime Asylum who sold anime cells, animation cells. And I discussed this before, I bought one. But when I was thumbing through the animation cells, I was looking at all the Tenchi Muyo cells. And I almost bought a couple of those as well. But one of the animation cells that he had, which was probably like $500, was the scene when Ryouki first breaks out of her shell, out of the egg. And I don't know how many people remember that specific scene when she's hatching from the egg, but it's so cute because she's so floppy and like clumsy that it's just, you can't help but think it's just the best thing on the face of the planet.
And then she turns into a spaceship.
Yeah. And then she turns into a spaceship. But, but yeah, she's like this little bunny cat thing. Mm. And yeah, when she's breaking out of the shell, it's like the cell was like her big floppy foot, like sticking up, and her ears flopped onto the ground. So she's like still halfway in the shell. It's great, guys. I love Ryoki. Ryoki's so cute. You guys better be Google searching her right now.
Like I had mentioned in the other ones, I noticed, well, cats are really prominent. And, like, you have the cat from Trigun, who's not really any prominent part of the show. He just kind of shows up and goes, and then he goes away.
It's an Easter egg.
Yeah. Cats are super prominent everywhere in Fooly Cooly. Cats are, like, one of the biggest themes about it. And then you have the little cat, Takun, who's, I would say, is the main cat that we have, or the main cat creature or animal creature that we have in Fooly Cooly. But then my favorite cat of all time would be Sakamoto from Nichijou, because he's just the greatest.
That's true.
There was actually going to be a time, Andrew, remember when you and I had the plans to do anthropomorphized versions of
Sakamoto
and the crow from Nichijou? Those actually would still be awesome cosplays. I think we should pull that off sometime.
For me, you know, the couple of the ones that really come to mind, and thankfully I've got some help looking around here. First and foremost.
That's true. You can look around your room.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about probably my favorite character from Sergeant Frog, which is Tamama, who is just batshit crazy, hilarious. And I love that whole split personality that Tamama has between being cute and psychotic. So that's one animal that I can think of that is probably one of my favorite. I would say that Tamama is definitely one of the funniest anime characters, in my honest opinion, like ever created.
Yeah.
Because it's so well written. And especially when you listen to the English dub, who, you know, Brina Plante did an amazing job as Tamama.
Agreed.
The jokes that Tamama had, the one-liners, were some of the very funniest. Like when he's eating like the big giant cake, he's like, oh, this is great. I'm getting type 2 diabetes and I don't care. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree. I actually always found that Sergeant Frog was better in English than it was in Japanese.
Absolutely. So with Tamama, definitely him. I gotta go thinking about, would you count Kiro Barros from Cardcaptor Sakura as one?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I would have thought that, yeah, I figured that was probably gonna be one that Victoria was gonna bring up.
I had a feeling Evan was gonna, so I was, that was on the...
Well, for me, Kiro Barros is very important because Kiro Barros was the very first anime plushie that I ever owned. I won him in a Kids WB contest, but like, I love the look of Kiro Barros. I love the attitude, whether it's the Japanese version where it's the same voice actress as Sailor Mercury in the original Sailor Moon, or when you watch the English dub of Card Captors, and it's the guy who voiced the tall, lanky Ed and Eddie.
Oh, Matt Hill?
Yeah, Matt Hill did the voice of Kiro Barros.
I don't think I ever put that together. Like, what?
He doesn't do a whole lot of voice acting. He's not in a lot of stuff. I think the only other thing that I know him from is Super Duper Sumos, and nobody watched that show.
I miss Ed and Eddie.
Sorry, yeah, I know, me too.
Well, he's more of a comedian than a voice actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to steal too much of Victoria's Thunder, but I do want to...
Not your fun.
Okay. When it comes to... And I can say this for both Fairy Tail and for Rave Master, no! But the character of Plu.
That's the one I was really excited about.
Wow, you stole her thunder. You actually did it.
Yeah! I won a prize.
Right now, it's like all about Plu, because I fucking love Plu. Other than, like you said, it's okay.
I was assuming that she was going to talk about Happy, so I went, I'll talk about Plu.
I absolutely loved Rave Masters for so long, and I was so upset when it was gone. And then the fact that Plu showed up in Fairy Tail, I freaked out. Okay, you can keep going.
Or, you know, as Real Big Fish refer to him as, the carrot-nosed dog.
I know, he's either a dog or a snowman. Like, he's adorable.
He's the most useless character in anime ever, but he is so cute.
He's adorable. He's like a little sidekick just to have around every once in a while. Like, so cute.
I love the episode where Lucy's going through all the keys to fight this, like, giant monster.
And she pulls out Plu. And
pulls out Plu, and Plu defeats the giant crocodile character by dancing. He outdances the crocodile.
It's fantastic. I love Plu so much. Like, literally, I've had the page open about Plu since before we started recording.
Have you? I'm sure you've seen some of the OVAs, right? Have you seen the one where Plu is the principal of the school in Fairy Tail? And the crossover of Brave Master.
I love the crossover, because it just shows that they are all the same person. Like, the first time I saw Gray, I was like, oh shit, it's Musica. Like, what's going on?
I think that was the big joke of there. But I love the episode where they're all in school and Plu's giving this epic speech and he's like going, ree, ree, and he's dancing. And there's Natsu like crying, like saying, this is the greatest speech ever! He knows what to say! I think I'll finish there so Victoria can pick up the pieces of what I left.
All right, let's see. So I'm thinking like more older at the moment, because one of my favorites is definitely, she either goes by Kilala or Kirara from Inuyasha, the cat that like transforms into the fighting cat with Sango. She's freaking awesome. She's a fire cat, which is really cool. It is a lot of cats though. And like, I've always loved her because she's always got that, she's got like a little attitude for a cat, but at the same time, she's like the sweetest little thing. Love her. And then Happy, of course, now that Plu is gone. But, like, there's three different cats. Well, actually, there's, like, a whole freaking world of cats. But there's three of them, specifically on Fairy Tail, that so different. Like, so, so different. And they're just all so awesome. And I'm suddenly drawing a blank because of my Plu freak out on other than, like, Carla, that's Charlotte, depending on what you're reading. And then... Happy, and I can't remember. Oh my god, what's his name?
While you do that, I just want to make a quick little, hey, this is pretty cool. I commented to the voice actress of Hululu about the whole Stan thing, because she posted pictures of her at the zoo, and I said that you should record some dialogue that triggers when Grape Coon walks by the Hululu standee, and she liked it.
The entire time, like, every single one of the anyone who is a dragon. Oh my god, what the heck is it called? My brain is just freaking out over Plu, and I can't. Evan, do you know anything about Fairy Tail? Like,
up to about episode 105.
What are the people who fight dragons? I can't think of the name.
Dragon Slayer.
Thank you. That's why I was like, why? It's like on the tip of my tongue. I couldn't do it.
How easy is that? Who are the people who fight dragons? Dragon Slayers?
I knew it was like dragon something, but I was drawing a blank, okay? So all the Dragon Slayers end up with a cat. It's just a thing. And then Gaijiel's pissed off that he doesn't have one. So he's like all really mad that he doesn't have an Exceed, is what they're called. And they go to the world with all the, like, all the cats are there. It's like a different dimension. And he finds one and he's like, that's my cat. That is totally going to be my cat, because he can transform into like this big fighting thing. And like, it's killing me. Panther Lily. So Panther Lily can transform from like this little cute chibi cat with a tiny sword on his back to this like badass buff panther thing with a sword. And he's like, he's very zen, but at the same time, he's a ridiculous fighter. And him and Gaijiel mostly punch each other in the face, but they're a great team. So yeah, Fairy Tail has so many of the lovely little animal creatures that are addicting, and you can't help but love them. Then, I don't really know if in One Piece, if Chopper would count.
Sure, we'll say Chopper counts.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's a main character, he's not, like, a sidekick, but he is a reindeer. So it's like, I don't know, but he's adorable. The one show I refuse to talk about animals in, other than all the cats that they collect, is Fullmetal Alchemist.
I wonder why.
Mm, My roommates like to throw.
Oh, let's play.
I'm gonna hang up on this Skype chat, Evan. But yeah, so like I won't. I'm just. Al collects lots of cats. They're adorable, and they usually end up in the metal suit of armor. That's all I'm saying. But like I said, I have lots. So Chopper is obviously like one of the best people. I absolutely love that all the time. Whenever he's shy or if he's like embarrassed, he'll be like, "Oh, shut up! Stop it! You're an idiot!" And he's just he loves it. So he's like, he's kind of like keep going. But at the same time, he's just like, "You're a jerk! Just go away! Like, I don't like you." He's embarrassed. He's adorable, and he's actually a really good doctor, which is weird because he's a reindeer. I'm trying to assume anime.
Lucy collected puppies that one time in Elfin Lied.
I don't know, like, I had a ton, and my brain is just still freaking out over Plume. I'm trying to think of all the things I watch. Like, you went over Cardcaptor, which is, like, he's one of the best. Kikiro is absolutely the best. I'm literally going through all the plushie that I have. I remember! Okay, so... If anyone has ever seen Triple X Holic, there are little bunnies called Mokunas.
Oh, the Mokunas, of course, yeah.
Are the best. And there's one Mokuna, two, and then you stop because there's only two.
You count them one Mokuna and two Mokuna, and then you stop because there's only two.
I have both of them, actually, in plush form. But my black Mokuna is a lot smaller than my white Mokuna. The white Mokuna gets dirty a lot for some reason. Oh my god, Mokuna is the best little shit. Especially, like, the black one's an alcoholic. Hardcore. Because the white one is in Tsubasa, and the black one is in Holic. And he will drink with Yuko all the time.
How appropriate.
Right?
But an alcoholic.
He is a hardcore alcoholic. But,
in Holic.
Ha ha ha.
Oh, it's talking about him the whole time.
And then Mokuna... The white Mokuna is just adorable and trying to be helpful and, like, teleports them everywhere. And he's weird, but he's crazy. He has to keep up with the others, so makes sense. I'm trying to think if there's any other animals, because I had, like, a list. I think I covered most of what I was thinking of.
I was quite fond of Chuck from Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt.
Oh, you mean Gurr?
Yeah, right? Basically Gurr.
Gurr from, like, Invader Zim Gurr?
Yeah, if you've never seen Panty and Stocking, have you?
I've only seen my friend cosplay them.
Yeah, okay, so there's a dog character that follows Panty and Stocking around. He's a green dog that has a zipper on the front of his body. But, like, he's like a real dog. It's called Chuck, and all he can say is Chuck.
It sounds like sounds just like.
But yeah, it looks exactly like Gurr, except like a really weird, deranged version of him, which is weird to say that anything Jonan Vasquez does, somebody made a weird, deranged version of it. You know.
Well, you know, Jonan Vasquez loved the homage in Penny and Stocky. He openly spoke about praising them for doing that, and the creators have said that Invader Zim played a huge influence on Penny and Stocking.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's great.
There's another animal, but I can't remember what he did, so I'm looking it up while you guys talk.
I know one. The turtle from Love Hina. That was always...
Oh, yeah, that's Tama. Tama. Yeah. He would, like, mew?
Yeah.
No, like, no, it wasn't like mew, it was moi.
Moi. Did anybody watch Dian Angel?
No.
Guys.
No, never did. I don't know why I said it all snarky like that.
You see, I keep getting...
It's a Vic Mignogna, okay?
Oh, okay. You see, I'm getting DNA Angel and DNA Hunters mixed up.
DNA Hunters sounds like a porno.
It is a porno.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What do you know?
It is a porno. So once he said DNA Angel, I was like, the porn? Oh, the other one.
Oh. I'm trying to remember what he does, because there's a super cute little guy in... I just can't remember what he is. He's this little white bunny. But I can't remember what he does. I feel like he's their wings. Like, he turns into wings for them in the show, but... I haven't watched it in so long. I loved Dian Angel. It was fantastic. It's still one of my favorites, and I have the whole DVD set. I might just end up watching it today now that I'm thinking about it, but, like, I can't remember his name or what he does. I have pictures all over my Facebook right now, or, like, all over Google, just trying to find his... With! Okay, his name is With. I remember that. Like, they found that. Okay. I remember thinking, like, why is his name just With? But whatever.
Okay, one final animal for me, and that's going to be Chimonsky from Konosuba. The black cat who's always playing with Liz's boobs in the background.
Oh, yeah. I thought, yeah, I couldn't remember his name because Megumin always comes up with really complicated names for everything.
Yep.
Like, that's her thing. But it sounds cool.
But Chimonsky, he's an adorable cat with wings.
Yeah, he is a great character that does absolutely nothing at all.
Absolutely nothing at all, except for playing with Wiz's boobs.
Yeah, no, what an adorable cat creature.
Yeah.
That should go onto my list of other cats that I had mentioned. On the other side of the spectrum with dogs, how could we have gone this entire time without mentioning Ayn from Cowboy Bebop? I would assume that's just because everybody knows...
Right.
From Cowboy Bebop.
And you know what? Let's congratulate ourselves on not mentioning any Pokemon either.
Yeah, I was like, they don't really count, do they? I'm just going to bite that one.
Yeah, no, this is more of like a little mascot thing. Whereas, I mean, I guess Pikachu's kind of like a mascot, but otherwise we'd be naming all 800,000 Pokemon.
Okay.
It's like, remember that one?
Oh, God, no.
It's ice cream.
The candle. Okay, so in Dian Angel, there's the character. It goes by With or Wiz, technically. He's Dark's, like, familiar. So throughout the entire show, he can either transform into one of the two boys. Like, he can fully transform into them to kind of be like, oh, yeah, no, he's totally here. What you talking about? But he can't talk. So it's kind of like a mew coming out of his mouth. And he can also turn into Dark's black wings to help him, like, escape places. And... he's fucking adorable. Oh, okay. So in the manga, he can talk. In the anime, he can't. But, like, he's so freaking cute. And he can also sense whenever they need him and when they're calling to him, no matter how far away they are. And he's literally this little white bunny with a strawberry addiction. And he's super cute and gets them into trouble all the time because he'll hide in the bag and just run away all the time. He hides in Dicey's bag and causes trouble. And he was one of my favorites when I was younger. It's just I haven't watched that series in years, but I absolutely loved it. I think that's all the ones that I can think of. I have a feeling people are going to comment and be like, "Oh, what about this one?" And I'm going to be like, "Ah, no."
Well, good. That's what
we hope they do that. We absolutely should.
Please help and... remember animals.
Yeah, guys. Maybe that's a good spot to go into fan service.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
Because we got a couple things from you guys, so but remember, if you want to join in the conversation, you can, because we have emails.
All right, and but just first, in case anybody even asks, I didn't mention Kokori-san from Gugure Kokori-san because he's technically still a human ghost of sorts, and he can transform back and forth between the human and animal character.
There you go.
Just in case.
Get out of here with that shiz.
Okay. So, on to our fan service. We got a couple things from you guys. Frostbeard the Porn Master Sean, along with what we already talked about today, sent us a whole slew of stories from Rocket News, which we always frequently go to Rocket News because they have some of the funniest written articles and best stories.
Well, it's no longer going to be called Rocket News, by the way. It's something
that's
new.
Right. Yeah, they Sora did, News. Yeah, they did change their name. And Sean wanted us to know, along with a bunch of news stories that he sent us, that we're not going to be able to go through all of them at the moment. We're going to have to wrap it up this episode. But he did, however, contribute to his favorite moments of our 5 years of Wicked Anime.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my favorite moments from the last 5 years of Wicked Anime would be the snack video when he was visiting us in Boston, which was awesome. And yeah. We do need to do that again when we visit again.
Yeah,
We still need to edit the one that we did at AAC, by the way.
Yes, I know. I still have a whole nother one that just Andrew and I did as well.
Yeah.
We have so many snack videos that I can't believe we haven't tried all the snacks yet.
And then he also says, at the end of episode 69, haha, where...
He did not.
He did.
Did he?
He really did.
Oh, jeez.
Where we got together and read the Besom fanfic. Which, remember, he was on that episode?
He was on that episode. Well, no.
Not that episode, but like that.
But right before that, we were... Because I remember Glitch was on episode 69 because he made the ha-ha joke originally.
Wait, a Besom fanfic?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember? I sent it to you guys. It was a long time ago.
Like the Besom game that we played?
Yeah.
There's a fanfic?
Yeah, Sean wrote it.
Yeah, Sean wrote a fanfic.
Oh, God. No, I've never seen that.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Anyway, at the end of that episode, what we did was I think it was because we were doing a Monster Hunter weekend that day. Basically, what we took was an audio session of Gerardo, I want to say Temsu, and Sean, and us, and we all went through and read through the open forum the fanfic that he wrote, and we did a live reading of it like they do on Friday Night Fanfiction.
Oh, God.
It was fun.
I honestly would really like to do another game. Especially now that Besom was the first D&D game I think I ever did.
Yeah, your first tabletop roleplay.
Yeah, and now I'm hardcore addicted. I'm on like 6 or 7 different games at the moment.
I would love to do that.
I think it would be really, really fun.
And then we also got a nice little video over it. We haven't watched it yet. I started watching it, but I haven't had a chance to finish it. But it's a video on YouTube by The Dan Cave. This was sent over to us by Wicked Fan Mike, that he thought we would be interested in, which is 7 Hollywood anime adaptions that almost happened. So with a bunch of different anime adaptions, especially after Ghost in the Shell, we still have plans for, you know, Naruto and Akira and...
How about that $500 million Cowboy Bebop script that Keanu Reeves wrote?
Well, and then there's
also... Well, he didn't write it, but he had a hand in helping to bring it to life.
Really? Yeah. I thought he wrote it.
Well, there's also Battle Angel Alita that's going to waste, I feel. Because first James Cameron had it, and he was doing nothing with it. And now Robert Rodriguez is doing a film for it. And I really don't know how I feel about that.
You see, if it's more like... like El Mariachi, like that sort of Robert Rodriguez, and not Shark Boy and Lava Girl Robert Rodriguez, I'll be okay.
See, I guess so, but I don't feel like he has the directing style.
Boy and Lava Girl. Say that with a straight face. I actually didn't hate it. Like, it was weird as fuck, but I didn't hate it.
It was just the
But
Taylor
think about
Lautner.
What he did for, like, Planet Terror.
I didn't see Planet Terror.
You never saw Planet Terror? You never saw that movie of the girl with the machine gun leg?
No, I know what you're talking about, but no, I did not see it.
All right. Because I've got the double feature Grindhouse. You guys got to come over and watch it sometime. It's got all the fake trailers and everything.
So that was what... We'll probably get back to that once we watch the video, but I have it in my queue right now so that I can go ahead and do that. And then finally, we had a... Facebook message from Keto, and what Keto wrote to us was, hey, here's a fun game. I'm taking a trip this month and need some suggestions for your favorite Oda non-comic / doujin. Consider this your fan service homework goo for next week's episode. I swear I'm not being a creep. And he says wicked fans can feel free to join in on this as well. Now here's the thing. Yes, I like doujins, and yes, I like looking at artists and stuff like that, but Oda Non is not really my thing.
Yeah, same.
However, I do know that I do know what can be recommended to you if you're looking for that kind of thing, because the English distributing company Faku released an entire volume set of every single one of Odanon's colored stories. So from beginning to end, you can get a whole bunch of mature mom type lady in color if you want. And I believe the book is called Non-Virgin. And so you can go to Faku's website and order just everything Odanon from them in that one collection. So that's all I know. That is my extent of Odanon. I do not know much else. Because it's just not my thing. unfortunately.
Well, keep it, and listeners, keep in mind, that's as close as he's going to say to be dropping the F-bomb on a show.
Well, that's the name of their company. So thank you, Keto. Have a good time on your trip. And maybe you can be reading some Odonon comics in Faku's full volume collection of all color mom MILF mature characters in color. Well, lastly, we have a short one. It was a tweet from Wicked fan Eric, who said, "Yo, Wicked Anime, congrats on 5 years. My favorite part is having to stop what I'm doing to take notes on your recommendations."
Nice.
Yes. Well, we're glad that we can recommend things to anybody at all, and everybody's just like, no, that's crap.
That is why we have to keep doing all of our what we're watchings and everything, because people really like to listen to us talk about that.
It's a good thing I like watching anime, even if it's bad, because otherwise you'd have nowhere to find new anime. You have to go look for it yourself, and then you don't get to hear me say funny, funny jokes about bad ones.
Your listeners cool. will be the judge of that.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Cool. So thank you, guys. And if you would like to join in on the conversation that we had today, maybe you'd like to talk about more penguins and animal sidekicks. Maybe we missed some animal sidekicks.
Oh, we definitely did.
Oh, we definitely did.
I Googled animal anime sidekicks, and for some reason, Rufus the Naked Mole Rat came up from...
But... You guys can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can throw us some comments just like Keto did. Find us over there. We post a bunch of news stories and updates and whatever we have going on for the week. If you guys also want to find us on nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, if you're not already listening to the podcast there, which you can also listen to on iTunes and SoundCloud, you can find our videos over there as well, but you can also find the videos over at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, which is actually probably the better place to see our videos because you can subscribe to us and just... kind of look out and see whenever we post something. We do have a bunch of Anime Boston stuff in process, and there's a lot of people saying, hey, I'm looking really looking forward to your Anime Boston stuff. I like watching those. So that's pretty cool. And then, of course, you can find us on the rest of the social medias. You can find us at wickedanime.tumblr.com. You can find us at wickedanimeplay@twitch.tv. And you can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime, which is where we read Eric's tweet. Pretty much anywhere. I think that's everything.
Yeah.
Evan, what do you got?
All right. So for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. You can like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave.
Excellent. Hey, Victoria, where else can people find you when you're not on Wicked Anime? Yeah.
Oh, hey, right. I do a D&D game. So I'm on a D&D podcast called The Legends of Aramis, along with Andrew.
Yep.
And that is, do you know Jeff's page?
Hang Geeks on. New England?
Yeah.
Yeah, geeksnewengland.org. And if you just type in Geeks New England, you'll find it. It's a blog site that comes up, and we do D&D podcasting, and it's really fun.
20.
We just recorded episode 20. It actually, by the time this episode's released, episode 20 should be out.
Maybe.
No promises, but that's what Jeff said.
Hopefully. So yeah, go check it out. I'm getting better at D&D. It's not as good as the best of game, promise.
Last episode, episode 20, was really fun. We had a blast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
And the story is about to go off the hook.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like in Besom, I just ended up accidentally hitting our teammates more than the bad guys.
Yeah, you did.
So I don't do that anymore. I'm better. I'm a lot better. And I have dice addiction. It's really bad. But
yeah, you have a lot of dice. Fair. You have a lot of dice.
I have to use you guys' dice, and it's bad luck to use other people's dice. So
that's probably why my green and purple and gold set don't work as well anymore.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. If you join us next time, that would be amazing. Please do that, because that would be great. And we will see you in the next episode. Wait, do I want to say that? Because they won't see us. They'll hear us.
They'll listen to us. That's fine.
Listen to us next time on the Wicked Anime Podcast. Now, yeah. It is time to sign off the only way we know how. K-Bot! I'm going to go to Tumblr right now and let's play the Tumblr game for Hulaloo and Grapecoon.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
I'm scared.
All right. I'm going to play along with you.
Okay.
See if I can log in.
Oh, my gosh. There's a picture of, like, buff Grapecoon and a smitten Hulaloo. Hulaloo is really cute to begin with as a character.
Yeah.
Like, her design is very appealing.
Oh, does that count?
It's not really a porn picture, but it's like her nipples are poking through. So does that count as losing the Tumblr game?
Oh no, it is. It totally is because Grapecoon is groping her. That counts. Okay, so here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 5 points in the Hulu and Grapecoon Tumblr game.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.